Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith. Hey everybody, welcome to this special bonus episode of the Jug Life. In this episode, it's going to be a little interview with me, so you can get to know me a bit better off the platform, you know, beyond what I do with coaching and all the juggernaut work, but a little bit more about my background and life.
My name is Chad Wesley Smith. I live in Costa Mesa, California. I'm 30 years old. So why do I use three names? Was sort of by accident, I guess. It's because I remember my Facebook account getting hacked like 10 years ago, probably. And to make another one, I thought that I had to use a different name, so I used my full name instead. But I kind of stuck with it for professional reasons because I figured Chad Smith is such just a regular old white guy name that it wasn't distinguishing at all. Well, I had the middle name, Wesley, which is my dad's first name. That makes me much more distinguished, but it's easier to remember too. My dad also, called me CW when I was little, so CWS was sort of a nice, smooth transition from that. I grew up in Irvine, California, which some may consider it the hood. The people who do would be very wrong, but it's about as nice a place as you could possibly hope to grow up in. I was actually adopted when I was born, so I sort of my whole life knew that I was adopted. I never remember a time of my parents telling me that I was, and probably if they would have never told me, I would have never known. I would have just thought that I was way bigger than everyone else in my family, but nothing beyond that would have made me think that maybe I was adopted. But I just kind of always knew. They told me when I was little. I know I had a book that was called Why Was I Adopted? So probably 3, maybe 4 years ago now, I did meet my biological mother and two full biological brothers. Where my parents were just, my birth parents were just young, so they decided to put me up for adoption. Then they ended up getting married, having two sons of their own, and then getting divorced. That was like an interesting experience to meet them. Someone who knew a lot about me, because my birth mom and my mom had been in communication maybe once a year throughout my whole life. But all I really knew of them was seeing like one picture of them when I was 16 and reading a letter they'd written to me when I was born. So it was an interesting experience. It was crazy to see that my biological brothers looked so much like me in the face. They were very normal sized, though. I'm about 6'1", anywhere between 350 and 370, given the day. And at the time when I met them, I was 27. I think they were 25 and 21. 25-year-old was like 6'1", 190, and the 21-year-old was maybe 5'10", 165. So I'm not quite sure what happened genetics-wise there, but I guess it worked out pretty well for me. And I think that they were really happy that they didn't grow up with me as their big brother all the time, because they probably would have gotten their ass kicked a bunch and a lot of noogies and wedgies and all that kind of stuff that my two older adoptive brothers, or brothers in the family that adopted me, did to me, as they're 12 and 9 years older than I am. So, when I was 5 and my older brother was 14, I was always still trying to wrestle him and play basketball with him in the driveway and all that kind of stuff. So I think that helped, one, sort of spur my athletic development, as well as just kind of toughen me up. When I decided to start lifting, it was something I'd always been interested in. From being a little kid, seeing my oldest brother, Adam, in high school football. And, I remember when they could do, like, the pec pop thing. And I thought that was, like, the coolest thing ever. And I thought that my brother was so big and strong. And then in hindsight, he was, like, 5'11", like 170 pounds. But to 5-year-old version of me, he was huge. So I remember seeing him and his friends lift. And I had, like, a weight set in the garage. And I was just always really into it. From them and seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger movies like Commando. Probably saw a VHS of Commando that we recorded from the TV, so like you could still see that little end bits of commercial and maybe the the next one after the commercial, it would start like 5 seconds too late because my brothers weren't paying enough attention to for us record again. But seeing that and the Rocky movies and stuff, I was always really interested in lifting and interested in being like the biggest and strongest possible. My mom told me that when I was a little kid, you know, 6 years old maybe, I was in Sunday school at church and they did the story, the David and Goliath story. And, you know, at the end of it, the teacher asks, like, well, all right, kids, well, who do you want to be? And obviously you're supposed to say David because, you know, he's a good Bible guy and he wins. But I like raised my hand. I was like, I want to be Goliath. And I just, it was because he was really big. So I always thought that that was cool. So even though I didn't really start lifting much before high school, it was freshman year of high school, going into freshman year of high school, kind of summer camp for football was the first time that I started doing it much. And then as soon as football season ended, it was like lift, like we got to get bigger, we got to get stronger. But we didn't really have our football coaches were not strength coaches and didn't really give us much guidance at all. So kind of left to my own devices. Obviously did a lot of really stupid shit, you know, whether it was not going all the way down on the bench because I was worried, I'd heard at the gym at 24 Hour Fitness or something that was going to hurt my shoulders, you know, trying to squat in the Smith machine, just doing like cable crossovers and all that kind of stuff all the time. But that's what got me going. And we'd train hard, like, you know, doing dumb stuff, but doing it as hard as we could for 2, 3, 4 hours, maybe 5 or 6 days a week. And this would have been in 2000, going on in 2001. So YouTube with tons of lifting videos, you know, wasn't a thing yet. There were a couple websites out there, but you know, particularly for a 14, 15 year old to be able to understand what it was talking about was kind of tough. So I remember starting out benching, I think I benched 155 pounds the first time we maxed out freshman year. And I would have been about 5'8", 175 at that time, 14 years old. And, you know, from talking to people at the gym, from talking to other coaches, football coaches, track coaches, reading as much stuff as I could find on the internet, I have been writing my program, you know, wrote my program all throughout high school, you know, for almost my entire training career since I was 14 years old, with the exception of like a year and a half in college, and then when I started powerlifting some time with Josh Bryant coaching me. But I was just training to get better at football, better at track, throwing the shot put and discus, and just wanted to be the biggest, strongest, fastest person there was. And just did a lot of like goofy, crazy training in high school, but I was lucky that the stuff that I was good at, squats, power cleans, sprints, jumps, all that kind of stuff, was naturally what I gravitated towards because everyone likes doing what they're good at. Had I been good at getting a pump and doing a bunch of curls, I probably would have done that instead, but I wasn't, luckily. So I just kept, you know, training harder and harder. And like I said, freshman year, I was maybe 5'8", 175 pounds. By the time I was a senior in high school or I graduated high school, it was like 6 foot, 275 pounds. So I put a good 100 pounds on. I mean, going through puberty was helpful. And then also just eating outrageous amounts of food. If I ate now the way I did then, I'd probably weigh 450 pounds. My main go-tos, I get Stag chili. And I have the whole can of chili with like a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers smashed up in it. And then a bunch of cheese. That was a staple. For breakfast every day for like almost 2 years, I drank a half gallon of chocolate milk, and that wasn't even so much because I was like, I have to gain weight. I just really, really enjoy chocolate milk, so you know, a quart wasn't enough anymore. So my mom would buy 6 half gallons every week, and I was just guzzling those straight out of the bottle, along with a very large breakfast beyond that. But yeah, I was always just get bigger, stronger, faster, but all about sport performance. Powerlifting wasn't a thing that was in my mind at all. I mean, I don't even know if I knew what it was until I got into college, maybe my senior year of high school. I do remember trying to bench with bands, reading a West Side article. I've been a junior, maybe a senior in high school, and trying to bench with bands and getting like the bungee cords that you would use to tie stuff down in the back of a truck and like jerry-rigging it to like loop it around one side of the bar and under the bench and up to the other side of the bar, having no idea like how much tension there should have been. Well, we definitely put way too much tension because it was the kind of thing like as soon as you unracked it, it just snapped down to your chest, and then like three spotters were gonna have to help, you know, save your life. But it was a lot of hard work, a lot of trial and error, let's say. As far as wearing boat shoes, it happened probably out of laziness, because once you get to be a man of, let's say, advanced size, tying your shoes is not the most comfortable thing. You kind of can't reach that well or get out of breath, maybe. So boat shoes were easy because they were slip-ons. Plus, you know, it kind of goes along with the country club nature of the name Chad Wesley Smith. And but as far as lifting in boat shoes, it totally started by accident. I used to deadlift wearing slippers, like ballet slippers. And I was at a meet at Super Training, probably 2013. Yeah, I think 2013. And I had my squat shoes, my Olympic weightlifting shoes, but I only had one of my slippers with me. So it was either my boat shoes that I'd worn, weightlifting shoes, and that was it. So I figured the boat shoes would be a way better option than the weightlifting shoes. So pulled a PR deadlift wearing them and just kind of stuck with it since then. Growing up, I played every sport, starting from when I was 5 years old, in soccer and swimming. I mean, even before that, you know, playing basketball in the driveway, playing against my brothers, I would get up at like 6:30 and start playing basketball in the driveway at 7 until my ride for my carpool for school picked me up at 8. Just go to school sweaty as hell. So started playing organized sports then at 5. I was big in swimming, soccer, and basketball, playing like AAU basketball, travel teams, even though I was very short. But I was feisty, let's say. I was like 5'2 at the start of 8th grade on our AAU basketball team, and we had guys, some of my friends who had grown, they were already like 6'4 and 6'5 in 8th grade. So that's when I decided that basketball wasn't for me anymore. But I played a little bit of football, and then the main thing, what became my main sport, was track. So I started doing track when I was only 8 years old and was a shot putter and a 100-meter sprinter. Maybe when I was 8, I think a 50-meter and 100-meter sprinter. And for a couple of years in there, maybe age 9 and 11 or 10 and 12, our relay team, 4x100-meter relay team, won the Southern California Championship. And if you know anything about the demographics of Irvine, California, it's not great sprinting demographics. I'll just leave it at that. But we did have very good technique and very good handoffs. I think that all that track work back then, you know, just sprinting, sprint drills, all kinds of different bounding, running stairs, all that sort of stuff, plus throwing the shot put and doing some medicine ball throws a lot along with that, really laid a great foundation for me athletically. And then when I got into high school, it was football and track, throwing the shot put and discus. I was an offensive and defensive lineman. For a very brief time as a freshman, I was also the backup quarterback. But again, they didn't want a short, fat kid as quarterback, so then they moved me to guard. So went all through high school with that. Won some different awards for both football and track. Had some smaller football scholarship offers, but track was really my main sport. I think I threw 62 feet 6 inches in high school with the high school shot, the 12-pounder, and got a scholarship to the University of California, Berkeley. We were as part of the number one men's recruiting class in the country that year by Track and Field News. So we had, you know, this great, great group. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out as smoothly as we were hoping for. You know, and everyone was dreaming of, like, team NCAA championships. But there were some issues there, so I ended up, like many people on the team, transferring. And I, at that point, just kind of became disillusioned with track after about halfway through my sophomore year, or my second year of school, redshirted as a freshman. And then, so came back down to Orange County, went to a junior college, didn't do track, didn't really train at all, lived about 50 yards from the beach in Newport Beach, and partied a lot. And so that was a really fun year, but not great from a training standpoint. And at that point, I started coaching high school football, coaching high school track, and running the off-season program for the football team. So I was maybe 19, almost 20 years old at this point, was coaching a lot, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. Didn't really see any at the that time really see any point in returning to my own competition stuff. I just wanted to be a coach, wanted to be a head coach, and move up the ranks with that. But a year later, the man who had been my track coach in high school, my shot put coach in high school, his name is Len Blutrick. He was a coach at Concordia University, which was maybe half a mile from my house that I grew up in. I decided to apply to school there, really just to get out of the junior college and get on with my life, kind of. And he just asked me as a favor, more or less, like, hey, would you please just come throw the shot put for us? We know, like, you might only be able to practice one or two times a week, but for a smaller level school, NAIA school, I thought I'd still be able to score some points for him. So just kind of as a favor to Coach Blue, I decided to revive my track career, and through that year. So my freshman year in college, I'd thrown, I think, 55 feet with a 16-pound shot. And now this was my fourth year in college, my redshirt junior year. At Concordia, I only threw 53-1. I hadn't thrown the shot put in about 20 months from the middle of my second year of school to the beginning of my fourth year of college. So I'd had this long time off, was out of shape, wasn't a good shot put anymore. And it just was super frustrating. Like, I was kind of hurt a lot and just didn't want to do it at all the next year. But Concordia, being a small private school, was also pretty expensive. So even though I didn't throw well by my own standards, they actually did offer me a little bit of scholarship money for my next year, my redshirt senior year, my fifth year in school. So I decided, like, I knew that if I wanted to finish school there without a ton of student loan debt, that I needed to take the scholarship. And so once I made that decision, I kind of came to the conclusion that, well, if you're going to throw the shot put still, you need to be into it. You can't half-ass it like this year, because it was just miserable. So with that, I decided to train as hard as I could that summer, you know, train the way that I used to in high school and get back in a really good throwing shape. And then threw 63 feet, 10 inches, 19 meters, like 19.46 meters, I think, as a senior at Concordia. Won the NAIA indoor and outdoor titles, had, I believe, the third farthest throw among all American collegiate shot putters that year. So whether it was D1, D2, D3, or NAIA, had the third farthest throw overall. And then tried to throw one year as a post-collegiate. Had a 20-meter throw in that, but unfortunately, Coach Blutrick had passed away from cancer shortly after I graduated college. I'd also started Juggernaut at that point in 2009. So having no coach, having a new, brand new business that I was working 50 to 80 hours a week at, didn't leave a lot of time to chase the Olympic dream. So at that point, I decided to transition to powerlifting, and you guys are probably more familiar with that part of my career. So I ended up graduating from Concordia, or transferring from Berkeley to junior college to Concordia, where I finished with a history degree. Unfortunately, that the history degree doesn't get a lot of work here at Juggernaut. Maybe I know some useless type of World War II facts or something about ancient Egypt, but I've mostly purged that stuff from my brain and filled it with useless lifting information and movie quotes. My favorite country to visit has for sure been Australia. I've gotten to go there four times in the last 3 years to compete at GPA Worlds, Pro Raw 7, Pro Raw 8, and for the Big Dogs meet. And people in Australia have just been incredibly warm and welcoming. Just a really fun culture. Yeah, it's just been, powerlifting culture is great there, but it's just a ton of fun. If you ever have the chance to visit, I'd highly suggest it. Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth have been my favorites on the Gold Coast. Only bad things about Australia is very, very limited Mexican food. And Mexican food is clearly the best food in the world, because it's the only food that you can really eat for all three meals of the day. It might be a burrito all three times, but it's all good. And they weren't very familiar with the Moscow Mule. They did not know about the Moscow Mule in Australia. Five, six different bars tried to order it at, and they didn't know it. One person knew it, and that was an American bartender working over there. That is definitely my drink of choice, Moscow Mule. So vodka, ginger beer, lime juice. It's just always refreshing. You know, one Moscow Mule, one dozen Moscow Mules. It's all good. Max can attest to the Moscow Mule feats of strength. But it's just a delicious drink. I think, too, maybe the Russian heritage of it gives some extra strength. I think I have a much different taste in music than most people. Certainly, most powerlifters are either going to hear like really hard metal or like gangster rap and stuff on the videos. If you want to hear my taste in music, not necessarily what I lift to, because I'll put some like Rage Against the Machine or something like that. By the way, Rage Against the Machine and me, same high school, different times, but same school, University High School in Irvine, California, along with Will Ferrell. Along with like a lot of really smart kids, because I think we were ranked like number one public school in America a couple times, and I was definitely pulling our academic average down then. But for the most part, you know, I listen to the very calm type of music. You could check out World's Strongest Hipster playlist on Spotify if you want to hear the stuff I'm listening to when I'm driving around. But that's kind of it for me.